following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Hello and welcome back to part two of Corolla Classics. Before we get going, a couple of announcements. First off, my band Loxy, we have a full set that we did at Jam in the Van on YouTube right now. So after this, if you guys want to go see some music, we'll play a few songs, and it was filmed really nice, and thanks to all the guys at Jam in the Van for having us and filming us playing some music. So after listening to this, go watch Loxy on YouTube at Jam in the Van. All right.
You know what Loxy needs?
What?
Lou Pearlman.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely
take you guys
need
to the top.
That guy's magic. I mean, he certainly is a... was a success story. All right, let's get
going. Get a shovel.
With our first clip. This is from 2013. Speaking of Lou Pearlman, let's talk about a different controversy. Lance Armstrong's.
This is a very interesting clip. What happens is, I guess Lance Armstrong, if I remember correctly, was on the Adam and Drew show. And they taped it earlier in the day. And while they're recording, Dr. Drew was getting like shitty tweets. Like, why are you having Lance Armstrong on? He's a liar. You know, all that kind of stuff. And then Adam and Drew, of course, at this time were arguing that there's two different types of lying. There's lying for one reason or lying to save your ass. And it was a very funny point he was making. And also, you know, talking about how sensitive Dr. Drew is. So this is Adam Carolla's show, episode 993. Harley Mornstein's the guest. He's not in this portion. He'll be in tomorrow's Carolla Classics feed, wrapping up this segment as well in the first segment of that show. In this part, it's the show opening. Adam talks about the controversy, the Adam and Drew show taping. And then he transitions these really funny one-time-only riffs with Allison and Brian. It's Adam Carolla 993. It's from January of 2013. It's a great clip. There's also Damon John in this episode. That's from the very end. It was a weird formatted show. So eventually we'll use all pieces of the Buffalo and play that interview because it's great. But it won't be in today's classics nor tomorrow's. Until then, check out this highlight.
Talk a little about the Lance Armstrong thing, because I was doing a show with Dr. Drew today in this very same studio, and he was getting emails from Lance Armstrong as we were doing the show saying, these guys are up my ass, and what the hell's going on, and this is insane, and I'm being crucified, and blah, blah, blah. And then Drew got kind of weird and upset by it, because Drew's very...
dreamy.
He's dreamy. He's hunky. He's also worried about the media or future. He hates... You know what Drew hates? He hates... I told
you... Not being
on TV? Not being on TV.
He doesn't do that very often.
Yeah. He hates not being on TV, and he hates people being mean to other people, which is weird because you'd think he'd be over it by now, but he's the kind of guy
who's sensitive.
If you walk through an airport with him and someone has a critique of him, he'll never tell him to fuck off. Mm-hmm. I'll tell the person to fuck off all the time. He won't. He'll listen to anybody, no matter how horrible. And like I said, a lot of these schools we used to go to, they just let these fucking angry cunts come around the back and wait for us. And the schools aren't run correctly. They're like, hey, this so-and-so wants to talk to you. And then she'd just sit Drew down after we walked off stage and go, what gives you the right to give advice and what makes you think you're better? And after a certain point, I'd be like, hey, bitch, beat it. And Drew'd be like, oh.
Well, why don't you got no play, player?
What, is it upset that he wants people to like him, or is he actually taking it in? Or like, why does he not have a stronger fuck you reflex?
I think he cares.
He's a big ball of empathy.
I think he took an oath not to tell people to fuck off.
Oh, the fuckocratic oath.
The fuckocratic oath. And I don't know, but he's just sensitive about things. And so he doesn't like all these mean Twitter wars and things going on. And, you know, Lance Armstrong being crucified in the media and things like that. And then I just said, First off, do we really give a shit about Lance Armstrong doping or not? Like when people go...
I don't.
No, fuck. Who gives a shit about people who ride a bicycle? Like, number one.
Yeah.
I don't even like people who ride bicycles.
No.
Number two, you know, this thing where it's like, well, he set the sport back. Oh, he got the sport on the map. No one gave a shit about the sport.
I didn't even know we're considering it a sport.
When we were in high school, did anyone give a fuck about the Tour de France? And
no.
I even hate the fact that I say France.
Yeah,
instead of France.
Right.
I get enough shit for calling it pajamas instead of pajamas.
Start calling
no,
it the
wait
French
a minute,
tour.
Pajama? Yeah, the French
Call
tour.
Call the French tour.
No, Freedom Tour. Well, you know
awesome.
How We took French fries and turned them into fries, mm-hmm. and I took French doors and turned them into freedom doors.
That's right.
All right, let's call it the Tour to Freedom.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to hang some freedom doors.
That's right, and then watch the Tour to Freedom.
Mm-hmm. But by the way, I've developed a workaround for pajamas, which is just PJs. Not because it's cute. It's because I don't want to be stuck in the jama thing.
Yeah, yeah. For you, though, it's a little close to BJ. And that could have a bad effect on your man. You want your PJs? Huh? Said PJs. Oh.
Either way, yes.
Sleep my underpants. So he, first off, got the Tour de France on the map, which it was not, at least in the eyes of Americans,
right.
Number one. Number two, whatever doping he is doing, I'm sure everyone at the top of that game does some version of that.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be exact. He may be doing it better than others, but there's
a
version.
He's still a better cyclist than anyone else.
Still works his ass off.
Yes. And not only that, the doping is sort of representative of the best we can do scientifically, you know, chemically and all that in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
How is that much different than Tommy John surgery, where you're taking a ligament out of one arm and putting it in the other, or taking a cadaver's blah, blah, blah. It's all where science has gotten us,
right.
Where technology has gotten us. Why is this one thing illegal and the others aren't?
Right.
Adrian
Peterson led the league in rushing this year, and Gale Sayers' career was over with the same injury. So why is it unfair to Gale Sayers and his legacy? Mm. I said legacy.
You sure did.
Good one,
but
H-Man.
The crazy thing, though, is that we're all sitting here, much like any time there's a sex scandal in politics, we're sitting here and we're like, oh my God, I can't believe he did this. And now he's confessing, blah, blah, blah. And yet I think the point you're making, if this is where you're going, is right, that truly, I don't think anyone gives a fuck or is surprised.
No, number one. Number two, we're going to turn him into some sort of pariah and we'll get caught up in this lying thing. And I blame you women for starting this because you're the one who started this bullshit lie, pardon the pun, of it's not that you cheated, it's that you deceived me.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So yeah. Eating the strange pussy?
That's not what's the problem. It's that you didn't tell me.
Me going...
When I smelled strange pussy on you, you said that was just because you walked through a crowded room of people who had been eating pussy and it got on you.
So me being balls deep in your sister, not the issue?
No. I encourage that. It's that you couldn't be open with me about it.
So you would have been cool if I said, I can't fuck you tonight, I'm tired from fucking your sister?
Totally fine if you had just been straightforward with me.
Really?
I thought that you trusted me enough to tell me the truth about anything. We have no lies.
You know what?
All
right. I'm fucking your best friend then. Are we cool? I'm just being straight up. I know. It's
actually,
a bullshit thing that women started. It's not what you did. It's that you lied about it. But you have to lie because right now he's telling the truth and he's being crucified. So he's making millions of dollars. He wants to keep his yellow jersey and his weird little stuffed tiger, whatever the fuck that thing is they give you. I don't know what they give you. They give you a little stuffed animal when you get to. I guess they feel like it's cuddling time after all that time in the saddle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
All those days on the road in the French countryside.
Yeah, you need a little warmth.
Yeah, need a little something to cuddle with. So there's a thing where they go, it's not that you doped. It's that you lied about it. Well, you have to lie. I mean, it's the same thing we did with Clinton. It's the same thing we do with everybody. It's somehow we decide whatever the initial problem was, that's not the problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you lied about it, although you have to lie. And by the way, that kind of lying is not lying. Like this, I'll explain to you what lying is. Lying is, I was an all-American football player at USC in the late 80s. That's lying. But when a cop says, have you been drinking tonight? And you go, just two beers.
And I say, Mr. Marinovich, really? Two beers?
that's good time.
Late 80s.
That is not, that's just lying to save your ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of lying that anyone would do.
Yeah.
That's Abe Lincoln.
Lawyers call that the truth.
Yeah, if he was riding a horse drunk and they asked him, Mr. Lincoln.
While putting something down on parchment, which you're not allowed to do.
Sir, I need you to do for me right now. Go ahead and get off that horse, okay, for me right now? Okay, Mr. Lincoln. Okay, Mr. Can I call you the Great Emancipator? Maybe just Medium Emancipator tonight.
Take off the stovepipe hat, please.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and take off the stovepipe hat and take that off, please. Okay, I'm going to need you to go ahead and for me right now, real quick. go ahead and close your eyes and lean back for me, okay, right now? See, sir, that's why I said the hat should come off. I got that. Okay. So go ahead and close your eyes. Take your pinky and go ahead and see if you can – by the way, I don't think anyone can do that thing where you arch back, close your eyes, and touch your like forefinger to the tip of your nose.
No. That's the whole thing with sobriety tests is you can't even pass them when you're sober.
Right. All right. So the lie. Everyone's pissed off about the lie. But again, weren't we supposed to lie? And doesn't everyone lie? And is that really what we're pissed off about? And then the other part where people go, well – what am I supposed to tell my kids? By the way, first off, you don't have to tell your kids shit. They may not ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like my kids are going to go, hey, what's up with Lance Armstrong and this whole Oprah thing? I'm devastated.
Right.
So if they don't ask, don't bring it up. That's number one.
That's wasting my time?
That's right. Number two, the guy pedaled a bike for a living, and he made a bunch of money, and he started a charity, and he tried to get a competitive edge.
He lost a testicle.
Like many other athletes, and he raised over $470 million since 1997, so it says. So here's my whole thing in life. There's just a scale in life, and are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? Meaning Lance Armstrong lied, and he did some blood doping, and he won some Tour de France's. He got to give his yellow jersey back and all that. Fine. Plenty of dads out there that have fucked seven different women, cranked out 16 kids, are living in Florida, and aren't paying shit, and currently beating the shit out of their old lady as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to focus on them as a society, not the guys who've raised $470 million for cancer research. And by the way, that should count for something.
Yeah.
You know, people do that. Okay. Yeah, sure. You raised $470 million, but you did lie. So be it. And
it's a net gain.
Yeah. And God knows how much that fucking guy's paid in taxes. And everyone does this thing all the time where they go, oh, well, what do you keep talking about taxes for? I'll tell you why. That's the greatest charity of all. It's the greatest charity of fucking all.
I guess it is.
Laugh it up, because you have a charity, right? What is your charity?
Live Strong, or whatever it is. Ball
all
Strong.
Right, there it is.
Ball
right?
Strong.
Guess who doesn't have cancer?
Mm.
The Ace Man.
Oh.
So I don't give a fuck about your charity.
Shit.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
And my wife's charity, schizophrenia. But guess who doesn't have schizophrenia? Me. So how's your charity helping me? What's your charity? Ovarian something, please.
It's ovarian something, please.
Thank you. You know what I'm talking about.
God willing, we can cure ovarian something, please.
There's breast cancer. There's ovarian cancer.
Endometriosis. That's mine.
And endometriosis.
Yes.
Okay. All right. The point is this. I don't suffer from any of those things. Sickle cell. Come on. I don't suffer.
Tay-Sachs, I think.
Okay. I don't suffer from any of these things. So your fundraiser, your 10K, your ride and walk and push and crawl-a-thon, not helping me any. But taxes...
Mm-hmm.
Lance Armstrong kicks in $50 million bucks worth of taxes over the last 10 years or $20 million bucks, whatever it is. I do use the roads. I do use the police force. I do like a nice standing army. I do like a nice bridge
that seems
to function pretty well. Taxes is the ultimate charity because it's like me giving and you giving and Lance giving to everyone's charity, which is your way of life.
Oh.
Your parks, your schools, your bridges, your army, your Air Force.
Yes, but he earned all his money in France, so he paid stupid France all those taxes.
France.
Freedom.
Yes, freedom. Okay. So the guy paid a shitload in taxes. He lost a nut, which I sort of argue.
Hasn't he paid enough?
That's what I'm sort of saying. Like, I'm saying you've done enough. And then also this thing where people are disappointed because their kids and you used to be inspired, like you inspired me. Well, how am I going to uninspire you? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. If I inspired your kid. So Lance Armstrong won his last Tour de Freedom. Mm-hmm. He won, I don't know, 06, 07, whenever he came back, whenever it was. All right. So maybe you had a 10-year-old son at the time who was a huge Lance Armstrong fan and was wildly inspired. And that went on to make him a better soccer player or ride his bike or something like that. All right. So he didn't know he was doping. He was inspired by Lance Armstrong. What's Lance Armstrong going to do? Build a time machine and go back and uninspire him?
Right.
Too late. He was inspired. You can't unring the inspired bell. He was inspired, turned out to be a fucking cheat. So what?
His inspiration was inspired by lies.
That's right. 05, last win.
But really,
so
of all the things that you could find out about someone that would make you disheartened about them, this is definitely on the easier to tolerate scale than finding out that your beloved hero is a pedophile or something. Because that one, that's harder to bounce back from.
Well, this is first and foremost, I assume everyone in the sport is doing a version of this.
Yes.
Number one. Or number two, or as much as they can possibly get away with. That's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming that everyone in the top 100 or maybe at least top 25 are doing everything they can possibly do. Secondly, this is just part of being a competitive son of a bitch. I mean, this is look, I'll give you an example. Ferrari, we all know Ferrari. We all love Ferrari. We all worship Ferrari. Great brand. Blah, blah, blah. We all don't masturbate to Ferrari like I do, but we all agree that the world's a little better because of Ferrari. Ferrari did a lot of racing. Ferrari cheated his ass off. He did everything he could do to beat the rules, to get just like what they do in NASCAR, just like in every sport where they go, I'm going to see if we can figure out a way to bend the rules, get around the rules. I mean, now it's much more regulated. But
I hesitate to dip my toe in this, but like what kind of things did he do?
Oh, they would just have rules where it was like, you know, OK, I'll give you an example. There's something called homologation.
Know it well.
Homologation, I know, but for the people at home.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Homologation is if you want to race a car and there's no street version of that car, then you must produce 100 examples as a street-going example. And then you go, hey, I got a street example of this car. Now I can take it racing. You see, you can't do – what I'm saying is you can't enter a race like a NASCAR and go, this is called the Chevy Go Fast. This is one of one. They'll go, well, that's a prototype. Mm-hmm. What we need is you need to race a Chevy Malibu or you need a Ford Taurus or whatever it is, and you need to create examples of them. So you want to go racing, make 100 street versions of the car, then you can take a few of them, modify them, and take them racing. Well, he wouldn't make 100 of them because he didn't have time to make 100 of them. I mean, he didn't want to make 100 of them. He'd make 35 of them, grease someone's palms, and he'd go racing in a car. He'd do a whole bunch of shit like that. He'd do a bunch of stuff where it's like he had the series won, but if he lost the last race, he could have lost, so he'd have the race canceled or pull out or something, so he'd keep the series championship. He'd do a whole lot of, you know, gamesmanship, cheating. I don't even know what you want to call it. That's sort of corked. You know, what is a spitball in baseball? What is that cheating? Is, do you respect the guy? If it's your team, it's kind of okay. If the guy's throwing a spitball, if it's the other team, it's not really okay.
Some people say if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Absolutely. I mean, most of the guys that are at the top, and I don't mean cheating by poisoning the other driver or stabbing, you know, going all fucking right. Jeff Galooly on everyone's ass, but doing everything you can and then some. And Lance Armstrong is obviously a guy who does everything he can and then some.
Well, but it's like you're allowed to do that thing where you go to a really high altitude and sleep in some sort of chamber.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you don't even have to go to a high altitude. You just create that barometric chamber.
And but you're allowed to do that.
It's more oxygen
in
your blood.
It's weird where they draw the line.
Yeah.
Well, so here's a question, though. Do you think he should be allowed to compete again?
I don't think he's ever going to compete again anyway. I don't think that was the plan. But the real question is, does he get to keep his jerseys? And I guess the answer is no. And then it's this kind of thing where it's like OJ with the Heisman. They take the Heisman back, but he still is the Heisman. Still won the Heisman that year.
Yeah, that's for. I think you're thinking more of Reggie Bush with the Heisman.
Oh, it's Reggie Bush.
But there's off field stuff and there's on field stuff, and it's all gray levels of cheating. But
still in 2006 or 2007 or whenever it was.
2005.
Shit. 2005. Same year Lance Armstrong's pretty good year for sports. Yeah. Still, he won the Heisman. And
he took
a picture and it was in all the newspapers and they can take it back. But again, you can't really unring that bell. And so if you're Lance Armstrong, go ahead and say he didn't win it. He won 7 of them.
And, why is he? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead.
Now, this relationship that he has with Dr. Drew,
Mm-hmm.
When did this start? And is this because of, you know, Drew deals with celebrities and drugs?
Mm. I don't know. I think Drew's a star fucker, number one.
You think?
I know Drew's a star fucker, number one.
Do not besmirch the name of my boyfriend.
I was looking for clarity from Mr. Carolla.
Yeah. Look, I don't know how he knows all these people. Somehow, as soon as I left Jimmy Kimmel and Dr. Drew, they both started hanging around with super famous people all the time. I don't know how that – I don't know if they're waiting for
they
me to leave.
Each
they realized
like,
they've been slumming it.
But would you think like Jimmy was like his phone would ring and it'd be like David Letterman and he was like, hold on. No, he's in the room. Yeah, I'll meet you at the Hamptons. No, we're on. We're on. All right, Raven. This is Snowman. I found.
Who are you talking to?
Huh? Nobody. You're not David Letterman.
Under hushed tones.
Not David Letterman.
It's random we'd bring it
not
up.
Not David Letterman.
Suspected David Letterman.
Not David Letterman. Or Howard Stern.
I didn't
or
suspect
Jennifer
either
Aniston.
One. I thought maybe it was the
not those three.
Delivery for Thai food or something, but apparently it's
Letterman
not
would not I mean, yeah. Sure. Why not? Yeah. Okay.
Tell him I said hi.
The Thai food guy?
Give me some spring rolls.
I'll tell you my favorite yeah, and Dr. Drew, I think, did the same thing. I don't think those guys. I think I was the only celebrity they knew the whole time we hung out. And then as soon as they start
that's
doing,
what they made you think.
As soon as they start doing their own show, pow, bunch of A-list celebrity folks. I think Jimmy's coming in here, maybe Sunday. Got to work that out. Yeah, check an email or two.
We start calling him the triumphant Jimmy Kimmel now. Just oh trouncing everyone in the ratings.
God, the ratings, the Walk of Fame thing. It's all good times. I haven't told this one in a while, but I did order Thai food, and they gave me the wrong bag. Can I tell you this one?
No. I've never heard this one.
You've never heard this one?
I don't think I have.
All right.
But you didn't notice the difference because it's mostly all the same.
You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it now. This is under the heading of, if I'm really trying to get away with this, I must have a brain tumor. Sorry, Brian. Or I'm criminally insane. Like, you know those things where people mm-hmm. we talk about all the time where they accuse you of doing something
yeah.
and you go, what? What? And I even when you're sort of like fucking around with people and they believe you, then it means you're insane. Like, or they think you're insane.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like they go, did you take a – what'd you do? Did you drive to the party? And you go, no, I rode here on a yak. And they go, you rode here on a yak? If they believe you, that means you're an insane person, right? But evidently they just did.
Right.
So I order Thai food back when I was living in my old house. I go down the hill. I walk in. I say, I got to pick up. I'm taking out. And she goes, oh, yeah, here you go. And she has this big bag stapled together at the top, you know, folded over the big grocery bag. And she slides it across to me and she charged me, you know, $34 or whatever. And I give her a little tip. And I go back up the hill and I open it up and I'm starting to pull out stuff I didn't order. Your first thought is when you pull out stuff you didn't order, oh, this is good. Because they threw in some extra shit.
Yeah.
You think, oh, they got some extra shit. As you get to the bottom and realize none of the shit you ordered mm-hmm. is in there, then it quickly turns to frustration. And then I start getting angry at the person at what they ordered. Because this person ordered a cold beef salad.
You start to judge immediately.
It's like, what? What the fuck? Who would order? Why? Cold beef salad.
Yeah, we've talked about this. It's just
shitty.
It's just a chunk of fat.
Right. It's what happens the next day when you leave your beef and broccoli in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's like you ordered leftovers.
Right. So I'm like, oh, fuck. God damn it. I walked in there. They handed me the wrong bag. And so I come back in. You know, I bring the bag back. I say, listen, you gave me the wrong bag. And she looks at the bag and it says John on it. And I said, yeah, you didn't. My name's not John. You handed me the wrong bag. And she said, you say your name was John. And I thought, first off, do I even need to dignify that the fucking answer? And then secondly, let's really just play this out. So here's my deal. I call up Thai food places and order shit I want. Then I come in under an assumed name. But I somehow figure out an order I mean, John's a pretty safe one.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in there and say Engelbert because that's
who knows what he orders.
Yeah. Well, no, what I'm saying is that's there's
and he probably didn't order that day.
It's a low percentage name. Yeah. It's very low percentage.
Could be under Bert. You want to check again?
Yeah. So, according to your logic, I order shit that I want, and then I give you my name, and then I come in 20 minutes, and I somehow, through telepathy, get you to hand me the wrong bag by using a name that somehow I'm
that's
aware.
That's how you're so rich. Somehow.
That's how I got where I am.
Yeah.
Somehow I'm aware that there's a bag back there with the name John on it, even though there's probably only 2 to 3 orders waiting at that particular time. I give you the false name. You give me the food I don't want. I get back in my car. I pay the valet guy. I drive back up to my house. I walk up the 1,000 stairs. I open it up. I realize it's not what I want. I pack it all back up again. And, oh, I pay you, by the way. This is quite a scam I got working here. I pay you more than what I fucking ordered. Then I drive back down the hill and present you with the bag that has not been opened or touched, at least the contents of which have not been opened or touched, and then ask that I get my order.
It's diabolical because it seems so innocent.
As I said, my name was John.
You need a better scam.
And maybe I had a brain fart. Maybe I just panicked. You know what I mean? You know how it is when you're picking up some...
Maybe you're bad with names, including your own.
Do your best Taiwanese accent. Who does a better time?
I'll do it.
Okay, you do it. And you see, what happens is, it's like those people as teenagers who give the false confession.
Mm-hmm.
They just panic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm here to pick up my takeout food.
Oh, good day, mate. What's your name?
That's horrible.
Oh.
It's a horrible Thai accent.
I don't know why this is not yes and.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Can we go with it, please?
I want a Thai accent. Go ahead. Ready?
Do you order shrimp on the bar? Oh, fuck. I thought I had it.
All right, Allison, here I come. I'm here to pick up my Thai food.
You'll place our order?
Yeah.
Name?
There is no racial bigotry here.
Name?
I have been forced into
please.
It.
Please, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. I made you do it. Sorry, go ahead. That was a good Thai accent.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, your name?
Shit. John?
One second, please.
See, it's not going to work that way. I'm just going to tell you my name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm rarely going to panic and shout out someone else's name.
You shouldn't have said, oh, shit. That's a tell. That's what you call a tell.
And if I do panic and yell out someone's name, somewhere during the time when you're looking for the... First off, I'll be shocked if you go down under the counter and find something with the name I panicked and shouted out. But if, in fact, you do, at some point, I'll sober up and say, you know what? I freaked out. My name's really Adam.
Right. It'll come to you.
It'll come to me. All right. Where the hell were we and where are we? Ah, how about a little love for a couple of our sponsors? First off, you can catch us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can subscribe at youtube.com/VPN, and you can watch us in our glory. And if you want to check it out on youtube.com/Adam Carolla, all the episodes plus bonus content.
Oh,
I hope it's me walking to my fucking car, because I have no idea what this bonus...
Allison has promised she's going to wear less and less clothes each episode.
Okay.
So by springtime, this should be a hoot.
If you've never seen me get into my car, it's worth a look.
Your taillights are something to behold.
It's worth a look. VPN is going to be live from Sundance this weekend with some awesome podcasts coming up. You can subscribe to catch those as well. And for tickets to see the podcast over at the Sundance, go to videopodcastnetwork.com. I have a limit of words that can be slammed together without fucking me up.
Yeah, clearly.
Catnip slows me down. Like, if you took cat and nip, I'd have to drag my finger and stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if that's one word or two words.
I think it's one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is it one? All right. The point is this.
It's one-ish.
When you take video podcast network and you turn it into one word, I have difficulty.
Well, it's like, see, I used to run a bunch of words together in hashtags on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Twitter got angry at me, the people on it. And evidently the way you're supposed to do it is you're supposed to capitalize each different word so that people can read it.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's how you do
like
it.
Capital C and capital N for catnip.
And that was Adam once again talking about Drew, and you know, he's a sensitive guy.
Very sensitive man. Yeah. Very passionate, very sensitive man.
Yeah, exactly. And he doesn't take all those tweets well, at least not then.
Don't say mean things to him, and don't feed him raw onions or garlic.
Yes, exactly. Before we get going with our final clip of the day, I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a request, it's really easy. You can email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or you can find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at ChrisLoxamana1. Let us know what you want to hear, and there are other ways to get a hold of us too. Just find us and request your clip. All right, this final one is from 2017. We're going to do a little Thanksgiving recap.
This is an interesting one. It's Adam Carolla Show 2212. The guest was Larry Grobel, not in this portion. Ray Oldhofer is in this portion. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. This one's from November 26, 2017. It aired the following day, the 27th, so it's right after Thanksgiving. Adam gives a recap of the cranberry sauce, what worked, what didn't work, how much food Lynette cooked, then the dilemma of trying to get rid of that food. This is the year that he ran into Dennis Prager and told him they went to like Buca di Beppo and spent $600 for Thanksgiving. And like Lynette spent $900 at Whole Foods and then had to do all the work to make it for everybody. It's a great, funny Thanksgiving recap. And then Ray's there to tell some old stories, including one that Gary insists he tells. It's quite hilarious. Check it out.
I was thinking about my cranberry sauce. And I was thinking it was it's a perfect metaphor for my life.
Oh.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit bitter?
Yeah.
Sour.
Tanned.
No, I had the family.
You see it twice going in and out?
What's that? How's that working a metaphor, right?
Just saying. You see it twice. Go ahead. Ponder.
All right. No, I'm not pondering. All right, so listen. The joke has to be on the theme.
I got it.
Okay. So, because you could say that about carrots or broccoli or anything. You see what I'm saying? You could see it in and out.
Poor Murray's going to be devastated.
Doesn't pertain
was
to
it Murray?
Me.
Oh, the
improv coach. Yeah.
Oh, your improv.
Was it Murray?
Oh, Ray, your improv coach.
Was it Murray?
Oh, Ray never saw an improv coach.
No, I forget his name, actually.
Oh, damn it.
If he forgets his name, because he never.
I think his name was Murray. I had another one, too.
Here's how he forgets
his name. Allison.
Here's how he forgets his name. Brian, what's the name of my pool man? Never met him?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's how Ray forgets
his. This is good.
Ray, how many times did you see your improv coach?
I saw two of them. I saw one twice and the other three times.
For lunch, but then for actual work.
Work the girl twice.
What'd you do? Walk us through it.
Went to her apartment.
Uh-huh.
Had a bunch of notes. Told me, you know, played games with her, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. Yes, and all this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She listened to a bunch of the shows that I had been on. And,
I don't get why she had to listen to the shows you'd been on.
Because you have to prep, you know, like, here's what I deal with, meaning you.
Who has to
and
prep?
They do.
Why do they have
they
to prep?
They got to get the full context of what the dynamic is.
It's like when a physical therapist does, like, baseline tests to know
sure.
where you're at.
But I took 1,000 growling classes.
This is what you need to play basketball. This is what you need for golf. This is what you need for Adam.
No. Just improv.
So
she prepped.
Right.
And then you played games.
Are we going back to your
all
metaphor
right.
with
that
you know,
was right.
You
gotta blame right. Brian on this all one. Right. You jumped in with a stupid joke that was you taking
cranberry,
a joke that had,
let's get back to
had nothing to do with cranberries. That was your fault, and then you opened the door to Brian and then Brian, this has nothing to do with
good
me.
Good morning.
This is you. All right. So you worked out, but you're not seeing her anymore.
No.
Okay. Good. So two times is enough.
All right.
Remember
right.
I
so
tell you
the
key to success is I went to two groundlings classes? Yeah. Remember?
Once is for losers, you said. Twice is for winners. Right.
You know why? This building has my name on the front of it? Because I went to two, not three.
You had to paint
two,
it all.
All right? Not one, two classes. Wait, why not keep up?
I don't
get it.
I get it now. I got it.
Like right
okay.
now.
All right, you got it.
Right. It's not like I don't have a full plate right now, Ace. You know what I'm going through
okay.
and everything else.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Okay, you're busy. Okay. All right.
I'm reading that book about tidying up.
Okay. All right. But you see my dad every week, right?
Yesterday.
I would suggest that instead of seeing my dad once a week for 20 years, you carve out some time for something that works.
Double down on him the other week.
Two times.
No, he gave me extended.
He's
like
the
hour and 45.
Dude, stop talking to my dad. It's like you're going to
I love your dad.
You're going to a personal fitness coach for 20 years and you're morbidly obese.
Yeah, hello?
At what point do you switch to a different regimen? That's what I'm saying. He's an enabler. Ray, he's an enabler for you. You enable each other.
Let's hear about Thanksgiving.
All right.
I saw some pictures with a robust Corolla family. No,
yeah.
Something's up.
Everyone yes. dressed to the nines.
Yeah, something's up.
So, Ray, how many years have you seen my dad?
What, for, how old am I? 25 years.
25 years.
Wow.
Do you understand nobody knows less about life than my dad?
That was Pop Water.
Okay. Dude, there's no worse role model. Where do you see him? At his office?
At his house.
Okay. Right. In his 900 square foot. He lives in 900 square feet. He tells me he's trying to downsize.
It's like 13.
Like into what?
It's
a shoebox?
Square feet. I don't know.
We have the downsize is a coffin.
Starts digging.
Start
just going down.
It's literally downsizing into a nothing. He lives in nothing. He wants to don't listen to him, Ray.
Okay.
It's not working. Take an improv. Right. Take that money you're giving to my dad and take a goddamn improv class.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Does he take insurance?
Do that. Ray doesn't
I
have insurance.
He does.
Oh. Ray doesn't have
no,
insurance.
No, I pay him cash. Okay.
Ray, have you ever filled out an application?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah. I had to fill out a application when I went and worked for you.
Okay. In your life, how many applications? This is not a bad thing. Ray's never had a job.
I've worked construction my whole life.
No, he's always had a job, but he's never had a job with insurance or filling out an application or salary or anything, right?
Maybe total in life application, like resume kind of thing. Maybe two.
Who would it be?
McDonald's and Kimmel.
McDonald's?
Yeah.
What year was McDonald's?
Circa when I was like 18, 19.
But you never worked at McDonald's, right?
No. You just filled out the application.
Yeah. I mean, literally, you guys don't get that you can live off the grid. Like, you can just have a life of carpet cleaning and then construction and painting and whatever. It's weird. And we all did it.
I'm starting to think when we port in Key West for half a day, Ray might stay.
None.
Yeah. Well, no. McDonald's.
I filled out Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
All right.
And McDonald's.
With rejection.
It's not really a critique. It's just you guys have no idea that this.
It's just a chasm.
Yeah. No, what you don't know, what people don't know is that white people live this way. That's what they don't know, that you live off the grid. That you get out of high school, you clean carpets, you get jobs digging ditches, you just work for cash.
Right.
Like you just off the grid.
I'll speak for Gene. I'm sure you similar experience as mine. In early 20s, we're defined by this cycle of constantly updating the resume and constantly sending it out, constantly updating their list of references and all that crap.
It's a priority.
How many times during age 20 to 25 did we do that?
Probably it's all we did.
Dozens.
Had to make sure it was reflected in the resume.
No resumes, no filling out of anything, no anything. Just show up.
Wish we could do it all over again.
Both college graduates?
Yeah, for the most part.
Sure.
That's
0 for 2.
Here's the.
Several
they
years
didn't
of
grad, neither of them.
No.
Wait a minute. You graduated.
No, right? I went to 4 years. I didn't graduate.
Oh, I thought you graduated.
Little did you know.
Actually, going to 4 years.
I don't mean to be a one-upper.
I'm rounding up.
I don't mean to be a one-upper, Brian, but I was there for 5 years.
Yeah!
And didn't graduate.
Why didn't you graduate?
I ended up. It ended up being a weird thing where I didn't have the energy to go back and finish the two credits that I needed because at that point I needed a job and I wasn't making any money.
But literally,
it was like two courses. Yeah,
one in radio.
There was that one thing where
college.
It didn't transfer. I took a summer class and it didn't transfer, and I was like, I can't.
How many units were you short? Like eight units? Six?
Yeah, whatever two classes is.
All right, I give you a graduated college just because you can go back and pick it up anytime.
Yeah, I was there 4 years and I finished all my major stuff, but it was
in my mind that goes down as you've graduated if you need to or you want to.
Okay, so
you pick that up.
Do I get to say I graduated because failed three beginner math classes, was diagnosed with numeric dyslexia, which is why I can't write down phone numbers, and then was told just figure it out, and then I said I can't do this anymore.
So you're not 8 units away from.
I'm 3 math classes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but you can never.
But I failed the first one 3 times.
If you can never complete the math class, then you're not that close.
God damn it.
You have to be able to complete it.
Brian can do it.
Better off. You should tell everyone you went to.
You do a science class.
What Brian does, though, when someone says, did you go to college? Yeah, 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you move on. You don't have to say, if you say 5 years, we don't think you graduated per se.
Oh.
If you say 4 years and moving on, we think you graduated without you saying you graduated.
Someone asked me directly, where do you keep your diploma?
Well,
funny you ask that.
At KU, you walk the hill. You walk the Mount Oriad. So I say, yeah, I walked the hill.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's the graduation.
Yeah.
Ray, you took a whiz at high school graduation, right?
Did.
You literally
right
took
next
a whiz.
To you.
At in front of a bleacher filled with a thousand.
You got that. You got that drapery on.
You know, the gown hit it.
Yeah.
The gown
literally
was wet,
sitting on the. Thank God we're on the lowest rung of the bleachers,
we were
right?
Fine.
They put the. They did the temporary bleachers
and
out on the football
boy,
field.
Boy, girl, remember that?
And they. Who did anyone?
Pardon me,
Beth,
miss.
Whoever was sitting next
Beth
to us, would she know you were taking a whiz?
Yeah, she was eventually. On it.
Beth Ringwald?
No, different no. Beth. She held it.
No.
Okay.
All right. No, so you can pee under your gown pretty easily because the gown goes down to the ground, and if you're sitting on the ground level.
But that alludes to the fact that you're not wearing pants.
No.
No, no one wears pants. It's a hot day. It's June. It's, you know, Southern California.
Oh, well, okay.
No one wears pants.
All right, so...
I graduated.
So you can live without a credit card. You can live without a trace. You can live without
Jack. Any footprint.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you guys see the hat I got out?
No.
The beanie? Rams beanie?
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
We did see that.
I told them about it. I missed that first one.
Can you hand these two things to Adam?
All right, here we go. Ray's got a credit card.
Credit cards.
Ray's got a credit card from the bank.
And an ID.
Bank of Hoban.
And I'm a donor.
All
he has
right.
Three credit cards he wants you to see.
Oh, boy.
All right, give him
Bandit
back.
ID.
How many of them are in your mom's name?
Ah, good.
Well, not good, right? When you were 40, I said, where's your credit card? And you yelled, my mom died.
My mom did die.
You were 42 when you told me that.
All right, can I have my credit cards back?
And then I said, what's that have to do with you having a credit card? Hey, and you said, they were in her name,
that
idiot.
That one, it has a lot of money on it, too. This gold guy.
All right.
Ray's heard you say, God damn it, Ray, like his mom, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I've said it every other day. All right. I don't know which Gary was saying. Oh, sorry. All right, let me tell you about what
I was positing that possibly those credit cards were in the name of his other brother, Ray Oldhoffer.
Hey, Gary, man, fuck off.
You have another brother?
Well, you don't know about this? He has another brother named Raymond Oldhoffer.
I don't know that. I mean, the one back in Germany?
No. The one in New Jersey.
We learned this a few years ago on Ace.
Gary,
Let's call him.
We can call him. Get my phone.
I don't want to call him.
It's under Other Ray.
I don't tried call that. Him. He doesn't answer.
All right. Stop talking to my dad about life, would you please?
Got it.
Take an improv class, would you? So, the Cranberries, before Ray interrupted me with his mirth. Lynette. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. All right. Olga showed up with four big sacks of cranberries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we got about 20 people coming to the house, but seven of them are elderly, and they just don't put away My dad did what he always does, which is he confounds me, which is he comes in the front door, and I go, you want something to drink, Dad? And he goes, no, I'm okay. And then he's at some point about an hour later, I go, you want something to drink, a soda, a beer, a drink, wine? No, I'm okay. And then at some point, he's eating his meal, and I go, Dad, you want something to wash that down with? And he goes, no, I'm okay.
What?
And then at about 8:30, he leaves. Like, Thanksgiving, he's not born again. He's not a Jehovah's Witness. He didn't have a big problem with booze and the booger sugar in the 70s. And he has to turn his back on that life. He's just doesn't want anything, which is weird, right? I mean, it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, not a glass of tap water. The whole night.
He's got to be so dehydrated.
My biggest problem is like, should we drink the red wine or have some scotch now? Okay, red wine, then we'll have some scotch. I'll have a beer now, and then later on I'll have some red wine. Nothing. The whole night. Nothing. Ray knows my dad will do it. I think he's just, is he preparing for death? Like, what? He will drink a beer. I've seen him drink a beer.
It's too hard on his body to take it.
Tap water?
Meh. Maybe.
Seltzer water?
His whole life is too hard on his body. He's eaten like a bird his whole life. Yeah. That's true. He does. Have you ever been high with your dad?
Like, oh yeah, me and my dad used to go to the desert and drop peyote all the time.
Did you ever have a couple of drinks with him? Like just
no. My dad doesn't do any. First off, my dad doesn't do anything anyone would do with him.
Okay,
having beers would be something that people would do
together.
Right, quickly.
Yeah.
If you could rate 0 to 10, my dad's love for construction, architecture, design, or automobiles.
What do they both rank at?
What would they rank at?
0 to 10.
0 to 10. Building, construction, design.
We're going -1 on the building.
No, you got to go 0.
All right.
If it's 0.
We're double hoops, bro.
0 and 0.
Yeah.
But one has to be the winner. One, love of cars, vintage cars, race cars, Ferraris, exotic cars, just cars versus building. Just building. My number one and number two with a bullet for me. Those are my, all I think about when I get up every morning. Where would my dad be? 0 to 10. And let's be generous.
Because he's Italian.
Be generous.
It's 0 and 1, man.
What's
the 0 and 1? The 1's got to be the cars.
But.
Because you have a ton of Italian cars.
Has he ever?
Other than that, any other association? None.
Well, his first instinct was 0 and 0.
Yeah. He's trying to be nice.
No.
Is ever.
It's 0 and 0.
It's 0 and 0.
Yeah, but I'm going to give the cars a 1.
Well, we can do decimals here. You want to do like just
okay,
a 0.1?
0 and 0.01.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, there you go.
That's a winner.
The man knows
that's
him well.
Now let's ask about the Bible. That's ranking 10, bro.
Now he's reading the Bible. But the thing is,
Jim Carroll's in the Bible now?
He's getting religious
forever.
Now.
He's preparing.
Yeah.
He is.
Who, what straight male do you know that could call in a 0 and a 0 on building and or exotic cars or cars of any nature, yeah. building of
Dude,
any
nature. Dude, you
are nature.
Talking to the wrong guy.
Zero.
I at least have a human curiosity and like, wow, that's really striking architecturally, yeah. or that car
or
is amazing.
If you go over to the other warehouse, even if you're not into cars, you're like, damn, yeah. look at that thing.
And the history of the cars, too. Yeah. Like, there's a human curiosity.
When you walk through Adam's place, it's like, it's mesmerizing.
It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
All right, so my dad is a 0.
And point, wait, and have you ever taken your dad over there? Has
no,
he been to
he's
the...
never been there. But never. He lives 6 miles away, so
he's
how
never
could he...
been to your car. Museum.
No, nobody's ever
gotta,
been there.
I gotta bring him.
No, don't.
Really?
All right. Why? So we can see his face not light up. He doesn't. Literally, would walk. You can say that car Paul Newman drove at Le Mans. He just shuffled right past it. All right, it's awesome. So, no, my dad's never had a beer. I've seen him have one beer before. Like, I've seen him with a meal, like order a Heineken or something
loose.
At a restaurant.
You know what he asked me the other day? He asked me what good games were on today.
Ooh,
like, he asked, inquired about college football.
All right.
I go, hey, you got to watch the Iron Bowl. It's going to be great.
All right, so football now. All right, but no beer. No, never been drunk with him. Never seen him drink. Never seen a bottle of alcohol in the house.
I think I drank with him at your wedding, actually.
He had a thimble of wine.
It was,
well,
it
he
was him,
he probably paid for
my
it, right?
mother and me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It was quite the damn. That was great.
All right. True or false? You asked your mom whose dick was bigger? Your dad's or her new boyfriend's?
True.
Okay. Okay.
Who doesn't?
Okay. So the cranberries, the metaphor.
We're not going to pay that off with the response?
Which one?
Who's
Ray's mother's response?
Oh, yeah.
Jim has the goof. Dad was longer.
You're welcome, Brian.
There you go.
Jim has the goof. What, Ma?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Different Jim. No girth on the Corolla sign of the 50-yard line.
Yeah, different Jim.
Cranberry. So Olga walks in. She's got 4 sacks of cranberries. And I said, from history, don't make all those. We're going to have a huge bucket of cranberry sauce. You'd be surprised. One sack can do 20 people, especially when 7 of them are my dad, and my dad doesn't eat anything.
What
so.
Percentage of the attendees also prefer, weirdly, the gelatinous cut-up
well,
cylindrical?
That's not welcome in that home.
No. Well, they don't. Those
feel like
people
have it for the weirdos that like it.
Those people wouldn't turn their back. I'm not going to back them out of my equation because they would, if they liked cranberries and this was all they, this is all they had.
They'll double down then also. They'll use both.
So, well, I'm not offering the canned stuff, but the point is this. I do the math and I say to Olga, don't make it all. Don't make it all. We're going to get stuck with a bucket of this stuff. And she says, oh, okay. And I said, like, take 2 sacks back or return them or do something. Throw them at passing cars or something. Get a wrist rocket. But don't make them. Because I don't. My family doesn't eat leftovers. Nobody eats leftovers.
That I can't understand.
Well, to be fair to them, it's more expensive. And they always have their eye on the prize. God, I had this funny conversation the following day after Thanksgiving. No, here's what it is. Lynette doesn't like eating stuff 2 nights in a row. She just doesn't. She's that person. And then the kids have her as the sort of game warden on the fridge.
So they follow
and so
suit. Yeah.
What happens is the night the next night or the next day, she says, Sonny, can I make you a sandwich? And he goes, yeah, I'll have a salami sandwich. And I go, whoa, 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 how about a turkey? Yeah. Make him a turkey
fresh
sandwich.
Roast
and he goes,
turkey.
I want salami. And then she turns to me and goes, he wants salami. So salami last night. Then the other night, that was Friday night. Then last night, she's making an Italian tuna salad. We have piles and piles of brisket and turkey and everything else. And then they're making, she's getting out a tuna can because the kids just go, here's what I want. And Mama is so dutiful and attentive that she's like, oh, okay, you want tuna salad. I'm like, don't do this.
You're going to eat the
leftovers.
Right.
There's nothing turkey better than eggs, turkey with whatever, turkey
right.
Casserole,
fried rice,
turkey.
Soup. Yes.
That doesn't.
A salami and turkey sandwich.
Sure.
You know,
doesn't
come on
happen.
Now.
Doesn't happen.
Turkey
fried
mayo
happen.
And turkey.
It does not
the
happen.
Turkey and the mayo. Come on.
And we got a big pile of, we have a massive, oh, funny thing. So on Friday morning, we go out to brunch. We, no leftovers. We run into, Dennis Prager, who's at the restaurant in our neighborhood. Dennis, of course, comes over and says hi. And we talk for a little while while he's standing at the table. And then when he's getting ready to leave, he says, to me and Lynette, he says, you know, my wife had all her family in. And we just went out to Buca di Beppo.
Oh.
And had Thanksgiving at Buca di Beppo. I don't know, he's Jewish, you know, whatever. Oh, Beppo. It's Beppo.
It's Beppo.
Yeah. Oh, Beppo.
Yep.
Oh, never knew that my whole life.
I thought it was Beppo.
I thought it was Beppo, just like Peppy or something.
It's Beppo.
Beppo.
With
B. Buca di Beppo.
There it is.
Wow, people
fast.
Power through that.
Look at
File that under Obi-Wan Kenobi for the one that everyone just powers through. No one else goes, Obi-Wan Kenobi. They go, Obi-Wan Kenobi, another thing. And then I say it wrong my whole life. Jesus Christ.
So right.
Buca di Beppo.
You got it.
So he goes there, and then he pauses, and he said, hey, we had about 15 people. I think it was with tax and tip. I think I was in for about $600.
Wow.
And,
hard to do a Buca.
Yeah, I said, and my wife leaned in when I was done paying, and she said, well, you know, we got off easy because if we cooked at home, it would have cost more. And then he stopped and he did one of those husband kind of things, which is, I don't think it would have cost more to buy, you know, the ingredients and cook at home than $600. And Lynette went, we spent
$900. Right.
So it made Dennis feel great. Made me feel
horrible.
No, I didn't. I was like, oh my God, we're under $1,000. But we have piles and piles and piles of food. Lynette doesn't do leftovers. The kids don't do leftovers.
We have food for the next week.
Yes, Adam will come over after the show.
I have to eat all. Every single stitch of it.
Last year I came over after Thanksgiving.
I gave it away.
You sent me home.
The mailman shows up. I start dumping it into his fucking bag.
Like, you like pie?
Yeah,
like, roast the mail and runs.
I can't waste food. So I have to like, and they won't eat it. So I have to just keep shoving it at everybody. So thankfully her niece came over and I was like, don't go anywhere. Start, you know. So, but as I was looking at the bucket of cranberry that's sitting in our fridge right now. Before I left, I thought, okay, it's perfect. So we got 4 sacks. And I said, do not make those 4 sacks.
Right.
Don't do it. If anyone wants to, you know, for my eulogy, this story should be told. I said, don't do it, Olga. Don't make them. It's too much. We're just going to have a huge bucket of it sitting in the fridge. Just take 2 back. I don't care about money. I just care about a big bucket of the stuff that I won't throw it away. And she said, okay, I'll take a sack back. And I said, good. Then I left. Then the next day I like showed up and all 4 sacks were gone. And I said, what happened? I thought we were going to, oh no, Lynette made it.
Oh.
I said, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
But I also kind of miss out on that part of life where you're unable to express that to somebody or they're unable to accept whatever that is, you know. And then nobody ate any. And now we have a huge bucket of it sitting in my fridge and I have to figure out something to do with that bucket. But it's not, that's about right. This is my cycle.
Yeah.
This is my entire cycle. It's we're going down the highway and I go, there's a speed bump. We got to avoid that. The next thing you know, we're by the side of the road and I'm fixing the blown out tire. Now, this is no big deal and I'm glad she made it and all that good stuff, but I'm still saying.
Hey, isn't it like, isn't the rule of thumb 2 pounds per person?
I think it's 1 pound per person.
Nah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, Lynette cooked her ass off. She made an awesome meal. Everything is great. And now somebody's got to finish it.
Yep.
That's all.
We'll be right over.
That's where we're at.
Quick break to tell you about Geico, because if you own or rent, then of course it's hard work, but let's make it easy by bundling those policies with Geico, because Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already got so much going on. So this is what you do. You go to geico.com, you get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is that?
It's Geico easy.
It sure is. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And thank you, Gary, for the assist on that story.
At Gary's behest, we get some of the best stories ever told on air, whether it's him and his own emissions or him knowing Ray so well because they're guys like golf buddies.
Oh, yeah. They go golf. They still go golfing together.
I love that.
Yeah. Ray's a good golfer. He's gone a couple hole-in-ones. He shows me. Wow. He showed me videos of him. Yeah, he's weirdly very good. Because the only reason I say weirdly is because he just picked it up a few years ago. But
yeah, that's he loves it. Interesting.
And he's great. All right, that'll do it for today's Corolla Classics. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for our special Sunday episode, and we'll see you there. I know it's Halloween, but we promise it will not be too spooky.
It's not spooky at all.
My name is Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.